MZTV.
Okay, first off, everybody wants to know what's going to happen with the economy, with Trump's tariffs, and if you've been following this channel, which is not a political channel, this is a spiritual channel. This is also a channel that reads the Times. No, not the New York Times. Has its finger on the pulse of the Aeonian Times in order to understand God's plans and what's coming up. And if I believe, which I do, that Trump is the white horse rider, then everything is going to come up roses and quickly. That's my prediction. Based on nothing else but scripture, but the timing, the 6,000-year plan of God, Trump's friendship with Israel, his being the most powerful man in the world, that the number one technology guy in the world, who's also the richest man in the world, is right by his side. I mean, everything is going according to plan. What you're seeing now are the nervous Nellies, are the little people who can't see past their noses, who are just jumping like Mexican jumping beans. They're all nervous. What's gonna happen? My God. Trump, why can't people get it in their heads that Trump is brilliant? Trump is not stupid. Trump knows that unless the economy gets fixed in a hurry, then in the midterms, the Republicans are going to lose seats. So he's calculated all of that into this. And already with these taxes on imports from other countries, other countries have cut deals with Trump. I mean, it's going to be one after another falling in line. And it's going to be that with China will be the tougher nut to crack. But with Canada, the elections coming up, I mean, things are going to move quickly. And it's going to be rosy. And all the naysayers, all the babies, all the wah-wahs.
What's Trump doing? It's going to destroy the world.
They're going to be embarrassed. No, probably not. I don't think these people know how to be embarrassed, really. But it's going to be golden. It is a golden era we're entering into, and it's going to happen quickly. And as I said before, it's not so much that Trump is a genius, even though he's a very clever person. It's that God is removing boundaries. God is making things easier. God is removing roadblocks is what I want to say, that other politicians have not had moved before. Politicians in the past have run into these obstacles. And they just didn't have the resolve that Trump has. And frankly, they didn't have the love of America that Trump has. So don't let anybody tell me. Nobody's going to tell me. I mean, they can try to tell me, but nobody's going to tell me that Trump is part of the New World Order, that Trump is a double agent and he's really working against America and he's part of the plan. It's like, please stop. No. Trump's an anomaly. It's God's anomaly. But it will create, as I've been saying, the new world order. Trump is the center of the new world order. It will never be called that. Just like Christianity today is not called what it is, the devil's workshop, the devil's playground. It's not going to be called that. The beast is not going to be called the beast. The false prophet's not going to be called the false prophet. Those are the names that you're getting behind the scenes by reading the blueprint, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. That's how God sees these things. And we also, you and I, we have x-ray vision into the Christian religion. We know what it is. I'm going to delve into that today because it would seem a little strong, a little unfair that God would have to kill people. But if you realize the full import of what this religion has done to the name of God and Christ, you will wonder, you will be amazed, you will be dumbfounded as to why this hasn't been destroyed. Why wasn't this destroyed on day one? Yeah, that's what you're going to wonder when you see what I'm going to bring to you today. But when you see it'll help when you see the destruction of this religion, of all four major religions on the earth. It will help you assess them today. We're getting a look at their end in the unveiling. We're seeing their end. And so when you see how God deals with them in the end, it helps you assess them in the present when they are still looking all spiffy and all self-righteous and all glorified and all clean and all neat. But again, if you see what God truly thinks of them by his destruction of them, then you can come to the present time where it's still hidden, where we're still operating under the secret of lawlessness. And you can say, okay, yeah, this isn't everything that it looks to be. And it is not. Anyway, so get ready for great prosperity. Get ready. It's coming in droves like you've never seen before. Now I'm starting to sound like Trump. You've never seen anything like it before. That's just the way it is. Now, I am reading a section from A.E. Knox's book. A.E. Knox is the translator of the Concordant Literal New Testament. This is called The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. I've had this book since 1986. I've read it two or three times. I did an entire series of videos, 800 videos based on this book. I riffed off the book. I didn't go strictly by the book because I would take off on my own little delightful gallivants through the end time. Through what? What do you think I should call it? The glistening hallways of end time castlery? Castlery, that's not even a word. Anyway, God demands the homage of all hearts, Jews and Gentile, not only Israel, but the nations also. The succeeding session of this unveiling, that is chapter 11, deals with Israel's failure to worship him. So chapter 11 is called the temple section. Now we're in the golden altar section, you might call it. And here we have the judgment due to the nations for their departure from God. The first and foremost charge against them is the worship of demons and idols. This is a grave offense against the golden altar, where all true worship ascends with the incense of Christ's sacrifice. Christ's sacrifice is the thing that has been demeaned over the last 2,000 years, destroyed, devastated. And it has been done by the Christian religion. Yeah, Martin, you've told us that over and over again. I know, but what you're going to look at the destruction coming, the outright killing of a third of the human race, of all the religious people. And you're going to think, but they're such nice people. Why would God do this? You see, this is the thing, ladies and gentlemen. Niceness only goes so far. And intention only goes so far. We know that when Peter said to Jesus, when Jesus started predicting his death, Peter said, oh, Lord, far be it from you that you should have to go through this. In other words, we're going to fight for you. We're going to protect you. And Jesus looked that man straight in the eye, and he said, get behind me, Satan. Peter, that was pretty rough, pretty rude. Peter was just trying to help. He was just being emotional. He was just reacting to the horror of even contemplating Christ's death. And he says, oh, don't worry, this isn't going to happen. And our Lord had his face set so surely on going through this terrible thing. And our Lord, at those final weeks before his crucifixion, did not need any like false positivity, did not need any, yeah, we can get you under this, did not need to be reminded that he could call upon a legion of angels at any time, or 12 legions for that matter, and get out of it. He didn't need to hear that. And he knew that Peter was right. Far be it from you. Those are the words. Something along that line. It's like, no, you, this can't happen to you. And our Lord was thinking the same thing. Yeah, this can't happen to me. This shouldn't happen to me. This must not happen to me. And he gets to that crisis in the Garden of Gethsemane. So the last thing the Lord needed was this positivity from Peter. And our Lord just instantly reacted to it. Like, stop it, Satan. Shut up, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Satan, no. No, Satan, no. He just didn't mean this against Peter at all. Ephesians 6, we do not wrestle against blood and flesh, but against principalities and powers of darkness. spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials. And so Jesus went right to Satan. Nice try, you son of a bitch. Nice try. My own friend here telling me what I know makes sense. To me, it makes sense, Jesus said, would have said. So it was not against Peter at all. But we have something far worse happening here with this religion. Peter was trying to help Christ. The Christian religion has destroyed the work of Christ, destroyed the sovereignty of God, destroyed the world's good opinion, any good opinion it could possibly have of God and Christ, destroyed them. And it is a miracle that God has had the patience to wait 2,000 years to eradicate this goddamn religion from the face of the earth. And I mean God damned in the literal sense. God judged. A damnation is a down judgment, a negative judgment. This religion is going to be tried in the balance, has been tried in the balance, and been found wanting, been found lacking. And it will be destroyed. This is why people you know and love who are in this thing, they need to get the hell out. And I've been saying that for years. I will continue to say it up till the end. I will not be held responsible for the blood of people that are in this religion. Even my own son. I've tried to get him out, and it's worse for him because he's steering the ship. He's part of the steering mechanism. He's part of the organization of it, and he's keeping it going. And his intentions are pure. Oh my God, I know that. I know that everyone's intentions in the Christian religion, not everyone, but the majority. None of these people get up in the morning and think, I'm going to deceive a bunch of people. In fact, they get such positive reinforcement. I need to get into this right now. They receive such positive reinforcement about how much they're helping people, how much they're bringing people out of their bad habits. Oh, I was this, I was that, but I came to your church and I heard the beautiful music and I'm a different person now and I praise God. But they're all worshiping the false God and the false Christ. But all this positive reinforcement is going on. Let's read on into the destruction. Oh, first of all, yeah, I do need to go to Revelation 9:20, and I will get back to that. I got so much going on, and my desk is so small, folks. If you saw this, you would realize that I'm a magician over here. Okay. The license of the horses, Revelation 9:19, talking about those embarrassing horses. God calls out, okay, it's time to destroy these religions. Finally, and a big sigh of relief goes through the heavens. It's a shame some people are going to have to lose their lives, but they're all saved in the end. They're going to be raised from the dead eventually, and they're going to die painlessly. This is not going to be tortured to death like Christianity. Boy, if Christianity could get what it truly deserves, no, forget it. I mean, Christianity promotes the torture of God's enemies. This is a horrible picture that Christianity has painted of God and Christ. But God and Christ are not going to respond in kind. No, because the horses breathe noxious fumes, sulfur. Sulfur kills human beings. So they're not going to be, these people aren't going to be killed by the constant stabbing of the tails of the horses. Like, it's going to take death by literally 1,000 cuts. No. It's going to be like the lambs that were slain on the altar. The throat was slit. The blood came out very quickly. The soul is in the blood. The feeling is in the blood. And so there was no pain involved whatsoever. The knives were very sharp. I know it sounds terrible. I wouldn't want to do it. But this is the way it happened. And it's the same thing with these supernatural horsemen. By the way, the most embarrassing army God has ever gotten up. So, okay, it's finally time to rid the world of the four religions that have infected the world, and the worst of them being the Christian religion because they hijacked the name of God in Christ. How are we going to do it, Lord? They're a mighty force. I want to send them the most embarrassing, stupidest-looking army that we have. What do we have on tap? Well, we have 200 million horse-like creatures that snort and snots and breathe. Perfect. What were you going to say? They breathe what? Sulfur, noxious fumes. Perfect. That way people will die painlessly. Okay, yeah. Send them. But Lord, we have these, we have recent developments where we have these slick armies. No, I don't want the slick armies. I don't want to hear of these recent developments. I want to send the stupidest, most foolish, most juvenile looking army, what humans would read about. I want God says, I want humans to read about this in the Book of the Unveiling and roll their eyes. And go, yeah. These must be tanks, or these must be atomic weapons, or these can't be horses. Or what are called horses. No, God can't mean that. And so all these brilliant people who never take God at his word consider the entire book of Revelation to be allegorical. They will be made fools of. They will be ashamed of themselves for not believing God. Because they think God's not so stupid as to send these animals. And these things, I predict to you, there's nothing here about their size. Just their number, 200 million. And a description of them, let's review. They have cuirasses, fiery and amethystine. And sulfurous, sorry, almost left sulfurous out. Cuirasses, that is their chest, their back. And the heads of the horses are as the heads of lions. As, and out of their mouths is issuing fire and fumes and sulfur. By these three calamities were killed a third of mankind. Fire, fumes, and the sulfur. By these three calamities. But that's not to say that, well, the fumes, like the smoke that overcomes people in house fires or any kind of fire. Most fires, people don't die of being burned to death, thank God. I mean, they die of the fumes. And the sulfur is going to get them, and the fire probably helps produce this. So I don't think anybody's dying of the fire. It's the fire that produces the fumes and the sulfur. The license of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails. We don't know what they do with their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they are injuring. Okay, I take that back. There are some who are going to be injured by the tails. But I believe that these are the premier sinners. These are your mega church leaders. These are your Billy Graham types. These are your tele-evangelists. They're gonna be tormented by the tails of these serpents. So there it is. I take it back. Okay, they are injuring. They are injuring, but the majority are killed painlessly by the fumes. But my point is that there's nothing here about their size. And they were the size as of Tyrannosaurus Rex, or as of elephants, as of the blue whale, as of the sperm whale. No, nothing about size. I think they're embarrassingly small. I think they're the size of French poodles. Mark my words. We picture these as these giant. Oh, it's because we've watched like Godzilla movies. You know, Godzilla Rex Tokyo. And we see these incredible creatures like in War of the Worlds and these giant creatures. That's not how God operates. Remember, God sends David against Goliath. Doesn't send Tron against Goliath. So against the Goliath of religion, of organized religion, God's going to send little French poodles. The size, these things are going to be the size of French poodles. When you see them, you're going to laugh. It's like, that's them. I mean, how can you have two? You could, but it seems unlikely. 200 million beasts the size of Tyrannosaurus Rex, size of a freaking Brontosaurus. Oh, they're called Apatosaurus. When I was a kid, it was Brontosaurus. No. They're going to be the size of French poodles. Mark my words. I know God. That's how he operates. Oh, they're going to be scary as hell. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they won't be scary. The locusts, how big do you think those are? The locusts that are loosed out of the submerged gas for 5 months. How big do you think those are? They're not too big. They're the size of earthly locusts, I would say. And if I know God, and I think I do, they're going to be smaller. Smaller. So, and the rest of mankind who are not killed in these calamities repent not of the acts of their hands. Why? Because they still think that the acts of their hands are viable ways to get themselves out of this. They were taught from the very beginning that it is the acts of their hands that get them saved. The acts of their hands, the acts of their wills. And so they're not anytime soon going to repent of the acts of their hands. It's not that they're not willing to repent, to do something to get out of this killing, to avoid these killing animals. It's not that. It's that they think, they're so trained to think that their acts are so freaking important, that and their acts are going to be what gets them out of it. That's what they think. So they don't change their minds about that, because they just don't, because they're steeped in it. So they are not, the rest of mankind were not killed in these calamities. Repent not of the acts of their hands, and they will not be worshiping the demons and idols of gold and silver and copper and stone and wood, which are neither able to be observing, nor to be hearing, nor to be walking. And they repent not of their murders, nor of their enchantments. Enchantments. Oh, there's a big one. I got a Greek word here for you that's going to blow your mind. I'm debating whether to bring it up because I have so much more to say in the show. And look at my time. Enchantments. Okay. Pharmakia. That's the Greek word here. It's from the word that we get pharmacy. It's drugging. Drugging. They don't repent of their druggings. And all these people are in a trance. If you go to any worship service in the Christian religion, they go there and they get into an altered state of mind. And this is one of the characteristics of a cult. They get you in an altered state of mind, and they do that with repetitive worship music. It is basically an enchantment that causes their minds to be shifted into neutral to prepare them to take in the doctrines of demons that will be coming from the pulpit. Namely, that, and they won't name them these, but these are the doctrines of demons that Christ, Satan has successfully demeaned Christ's accomplishment to a mere offer, to a wishful offer. And Satan has demeaned God's control over the whole earth. He's just eradicated that completely. So that this religion gives to every human being their own realm of sovereignty that God can't touch. You could, if you would have said this in the first century, following the crucifixion of Christ, where he despoiled principalities and powers, Colossians 2:15, despoiled, made an open show of Satan and his minions. I mean, if you had said at that time, when Christ's victory was heralded all over the universe, if you had said at that time that this great accomplishment will be demeaned, it will be lessened, it will be destroyed and demolished, and somebody would say, how could that possibly happen? Satan is going to design teachings that he will inject into the human race, and he will surround it with a religion, which is the sugar that helps the medicine go down, the sweet little pill filled with poison. He is going to make people think. He's going to make Christ's friends think. Christ's supposed friends think. He is going to make them think that the cross was no longer the great thing of success it was against the sin of Adam. No, but it will be demeaned to an offer. It will be demeaned to a possibility. Okay, that like depends on God to bring forth. No. Satan's going to make it so it depends on the people. But how can that be? Because the curse didn't depend on the people. The curse came through one man. Yeah, I know. But the people aren't going to be able to follow that logic. That one man condemned everyone and one man rescues everyone from the condemnation. One man brings everyone into condemnation. The other man justifies everyone. They won't be able to follow that logically. Well, why won't they be able to follow it? Because they'll be singing. And there'll be music. There'll be constant banging of instruments, boom, and they'll do this before the teaching so that people will be shifted, their minds will be shifted into neutral. And you're telling me this is a conversation that was had right after Christ's crucifixion and his resurrection from the dead? You mean to tell me that Christ's accomplishment, Satan is going to be able to take Christ's accomplishment and reduce it to an offer? Yes, but that's not all. There can't be more. Oh, but there is. It's going to fail. What? Oh, yeah. The majority of the human race is going to reject. Oh, you mean the people who are convinced they're sovereign? That they're the sovereigns and God is waiting to see what they're going to do? Yeah. The majority of those people are going to reject. Well, why wouldn't they reject something so stupid? Exactly. And so, it's not only that the accomplishment of Christ has been reduced to an offer, to a possibility, but that the offer will be rejected by the mass of mankind. So that, let me try to finish that sentence for you. So that the Christians themselves will think that only a small percentage of the human race will actually be saved by Christ. Exactly right. That's it. Yes, you got it. A very small percentage of the human race will be saved by Christ. Very small percentage. My God, how does Satan do that? That's amazing. Oh, it's beyond amazing. It's supernatural ingenuity. Well, he first brings the teaching of human free will into it. You can't tell me that that's going to be successful. Are you kidding? Every religion on earth will promote human free will. Yeah, but that puts God on the sideline of his own creation. I know. Well, what's going to happen? I'm telling you. Every single religion. Then he's going to screw up. This is the most brilliant thing. He's going to take their Bibles. He's going to fuck with their Bibles. What do you mean he's going to fuck with their Bibles? He's going to mistranslate critical words. Once the scriptures are translated from Greek into Latin, whoo-hoo, that's Satan's playground. He's going to take the Greek word aeonian, and he's going to change it to the Latin word aeternum. Well, I suppose that would be easy enough. Oh, yeah, not too difficult at all. Put it in the minds of these so-called translators. And then the false concept of there being those who believe in Jesus, and there are those who believe in Jesus. Yes, there's no doubt about that. There are those who are elect. Yes, there's no doubt about that. But what Satan's going to do is he's going to confuse aeonian salvation for the elect. That is a special salvation of the elect that is aeonian in nature. He is going to take that and plug it into eternity. You're kidding, right? No. He's going to plug that into eternity so that the elect are elect for eternity. But wait a minute. That would have to mean that the people who are not elect, you got it, are damned for eternity. Whew. That's going to be a major translating coup for the adversary. Oh, yeah, major translating coup. And almost every English translation is going to do it. Only a few will dodge it. Concordant Literal New Testament, Young's Literal New Testament, the Greek Diaglot, Rotherham Emphasized Bible, there will be a few. The RIT, the DeBar translation, there will be a few. Young's Literal, did I mention that? Oh, there will be a few who will translate it correctly because God wants some people to see through this crap. And they're, thank God, listen, let your soul be quiet. Let not your heart be troubled. There will be people who will see through this crap. Very few, very few. Oh, well, thank God there's going to be some. Yeah, there's going to be some. But they're going to be persecuted by the religious people. Well, of course they're going to be persecuted by the religious people. That's what religious people do. And the religious people become so self-righteous. Well, I can see that. How could they not when they think that they're actual sovereigns and they have, and actually they're the potter and God's the clay. Yeah, exactly. How can you not become self-righteous in that case? Yeah. So now, ladies and gentlemen, I hope with that brief description of the diabolical systems of Satan that have been foisted upon the world through the pretty little pill of religion, I pray that you will see that the destruction of this religion is long overdue.